This episode is brought to you by Geekade.com, where we create an array of podcasts, articles, and more for everyone, no matter what your geek is. And if you want to help us make even more content, please consider supporting us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Geekade. Now on with the show.
Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 276 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast for the week of October 18th, 2019. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me tonight, as always, is operatic shopkeeper Dan Ryan.
I have such a lovely voice and it's a shame that no one ever gets to hear it because no one comes to my shop.
As part of Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween, Dan and I will be talking about Crypt of the Necrodancer per listener request. But before we go any further, here is your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Dan, how you doing? Talk for a little bit, because I'm enjoying a glass of chocolate milk, and it is delightful.
Oh. First of all, I'm doing pretty well, Mr. Randazzo. Thank you for asking. I don't know. Should I answer questions like they did on the debate last night? Well, that's a good point, Chris, but let me go back to the thing you were talking about 10 minutes ago and not at all answer.
I don't
question.
Think that could have been funnier. Anyway, I'm not going to lie, because you said, Dan, talk for a minute, because I can't. And then dead air.
Just nothing. So it's not me, because you and I are speaking, so all right.
He who started this call.
Two games that the Yankees have lost, they had opportunities to win.
And
what makes that so heart-crushingly awful is that the guys that they had opportunities to win against were Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole, two of the very best pitchers in baseball.
So how are you?
They're not great on the days that they pitched. And if this game if this series goes to seven games, it's quite possible that the next time they face Justin Verlander, next time they face Gerrit Cole, they will be much better for themselves, thereby making their entry into the World Series this year that much more difficult. It was awful watching last night. Like, I was just sitting in, because I raced home from the game. It was a 4 o'clock game, so that's cool. I don't have to stay up till like 1 o'clock in the morning to watch the goddamn game. It was a 4 o'clock game. I rushed home from work, got here right before first pitch, like had enough time to go to the bathroom, play a level or two in Puzzle and Dragons, sit down and watch the game. And the way the Yankees do it is that in the top of the first inning in a Yankees home game, which it was yesterday, they start the roll call. And the roll call is when the fans in the bleachers yell out the names of the players, and they do a little clap or a little dance, and the player turns around and tips their cap.
Out of the line. Should I be switching over to this other
one? Nope, that is this one, and I don't know if he had the...
Whoa, that was unexpected.
Are you okay?
Wonderful.
It was already 1-0 in Houston, because Luis Severino gave up a
home run. Yeah, I had to go in. I had 20...
Screaming in
actually,
my house,
technically,
like
26 CBLs to do. You know what they are? Okay? Computer-based learning.
No.
Like the mini classes.
Well, yeah, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I remember those kinds of things.
15 of them, around 15 of them, were for a certification that I already acquired via the state.
Are you there?
Neat.
And they were on average 20 to 25 minutes apiece.
Have I been talking this whole time to myself?
Excellent use of your time.
Fantastical. I'm going to go with he's dead.
Seems likely. He lived a good and full life.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I'm just going to leave it in there. So what's awesome about this is that I didn't notice, because I didn't have the window up, that the feed had cut out. So I have been talking this whole time. There is 4.5 minutes of audio, Evan, for you to just use. I got to the end of my spiel about the Yankees in the playoffs and my kids calling me an asshole, basically. And I was like, did I talk long enough, Chris? And dead silence. I thought you were dead. I was so scared. Don't take any of this out.
No,
leave
absolutely.
All of
I'll
this
actually,
in here exactly as it is.
I'll actually put my recording in if I can. Enjoy the rest of the show, gentlemen.
Cool.
Oh, wonderful.
So you were saying something about the Yankees?
No, I already said it, Chris.
It's
already done.
I'm certain it was riveting, but I haven't finished my chocolate milk yet.
I'm out of shit.
Well, have you been playing any games, or did you just talk about the Yankees, or what?
I only talked about the Yankees so far. So I think I briefly mentioned last week that the Japanese server of Puzzle and Dragons was getting a Samurai Spirits / Samurai Showdown collab.
You certainly did. Mm-hmm.
But we did not have all the information for it yet. We do have the information now. It is a fucking dope-ass collab. Like, they did a really, really nice job with all the cards and all the characters that they picked. The orb skin looks great. Every card comes with an equip. Like, it is a ridiculously good machine to roll in. But to counter the excitement of that, Chris, the Gung Ho North America team put out, like, on Wednesday or Tuesday, they were like, ha, we're going to have a stream on Thursday, fuckers. And it was like, well, okay, cool. I guess we'll watch that. And they were like, it's going to be groundbreaking. It's going to be this big deal. So, you know, tuned in. And their streams are an acquired taste.
Is this pad related?
Yes.
Okay. I was trying to figure out what Gung Ho North America was.
Yeah. So Gung Ho is the publisher of pad. Oh. Gung Ho North America is their North American arm. Okay.
Got it. I'm caught up.
Okay, good. There's going to be a quiz. So the streams that they put out are okay. Like, yeah, you guys should be better at this point, but whatever. So they're teasing, and they get to the end of it, and they announce that there is going to be a North American exclusive collab in Puzzle and Dragons, which is pretty crazy. Because the last one we had was for Voltron, and that was like 3 years ago.
Wow.
And it didn't go well.
Hmm.
Mostly because they reskinned a collab. So obviously the reason that they don't bring these collabs over is because they don't want to pay for the international licensing rights.
Of course.
For certain, or there's just not a deal that can be made, or there's just not a point to it, because the Shonen Champions magazine that is not published outside of Japan probably isn't going to make a lot of money here in North America, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, there's some diehards. I would spend money on it because I know what the cards are, but if there's just these weird random anime characters on 10 speeds, well, like, I don't fucking know what that means if I don't follow shit.
And they're not as crazy as, like, Capcom when they did, let's release Tatsunoko versus Capcom in America.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there are, like, some deep cuts in here, and there's some popular stuff, you know, like Fairy Tail is part of the Shonen collab, and, like, people know what Fairy Tail is, and Hajime no Ippo is part of it as well, and, like, people know that, but, you know, some of the other stuff, like, I know what cards are good, but I have no idea what manga it's from, or, like, what the story is. There's legit a dude on a bike, and he's one of the best cards in the collab. No, I have a lot of questions. I'm not going to do any research to figure out what it is. So anyway, so what they do when they do these North American exclusives, or at least the last time they did it, was they reskinned Crow's Cross Worst, which is, I think it's been an anime and a manga over there. It's definitely been at least a manga, but not something that was popular enough here. So, okay, cool. We're going to reskin that. We're going to make it Voltron, except we're going to totally cheap out on the art and have, like, no backgrounds or whatever in it. We're just going to do shitty, like, stock image art. And the best card in the collab, we're not going to include a reskin of that one. Which, at the time, 3 years ago, was a really powerful card and would have been a big deal had we gotten it. But we didn't. It didn't do well.
Hmm.
Also, you love that Voltron show that was on Netflix.
I sure do.
I love that Voltron show that was on Netflix. The amount of clearance toys that I saw for that Voltron show at Walmart and Target and a bunch of other places indicated that not a lot of other people loved that Voltron show that was on Netflix.
Well, I think not a lot of toy buying kids loved that show, at least not as much as other, you know, toy buying children possibly would have. You know, the toys didn't catch on as much, but the show did continue to get renewed for what, like six seasons? So
something like that.
Yeah, clearly, I mean, it had an audience.
Well, and it's kind of, it's so hard with Netflix because they don't ever release any of that information.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know how well it did. You know, they don't put those numbers out. But anyway, the collab in North America did not do very well. However, this one that they announced last week should do a lot better, because if they are reskinning Kamen Rider, which I think is what it is going to be, then the North American exclusive Mighty Morphin Power Rangers collab should be a much bigger deal. That's a pretty big get.
Yeah.
You know, like, Kamen Rider in Japan is, I believe, what Power Rangers was based off of, or had, like, part to do with it. I think we've talked about it before.
I believe Kamen Rider isn't specifically related. Super Sentai, I think, is
Super
what Power
Sentai
Rangers
is what,
from.
Yeah. Kamen Rider's kind of, it's a similar idea. There's enough similarities to where it would make sense to use that collab as the reskin. That's just a guess. I don't know. We don't have the details of the Power Rangers collab yet, just that it was coming soon, and they showed off the Red Ranger, like the original T-Rex Red Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
So, there is a ton of nostalgia for Power Rangers. There is still current stuff for Power Rangers going on. I love it. Like, it was a show when we were kids. You know what I mean?
I never got into it.
Really? I loved it. It was cheesy kung fu stuff, you know.
Yeah,
that
checks out for you.
Mm-hmm.
It was, for some reason, it didn't click with me. I felt like when I started watching it, when it aired, because, you know, it started, you know, coming out right when we were at the age to enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
we were like 10.
It came out. I wasn't like as into like kung fu movies and stuff as you. But it was like, it was really pushing out the morphing and the dinosaurs, because Jurassic Park was big and Michael Jackson's Black or White music video was big.
Yeah.
And they morph and there's dinosaurs. It's like, all right, I'm in. I'll check that out. I like dudes with matching outfits. Let's do this. But like, it just did.
It's what we all say about you behind your back. I'm glad you admitted it here to the world.
It's the truth. I like dudes with matching outfits. But yeah, no, it just didn't do it for me. I watched a handful of episodes and just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I loved it. Like, the first bunch of seasons, I thought it was really cool. And then pretty soon into it, like, we hit that age. We're teenagers now, so we can't be into this. You know, we have way cooler things we have to be into. But for those first couple of years, I was pretty hardcore into it. I dug it. You know, and subsequently going back and watching it with my kids, because they like kung fu to a point, you know, not nearly as much as I do, but they enjoy it, and they do like the big dinosaurs and robots and all of that stuff. That's just always kind of just inherently cool. It's still got a following, so this should be, if they do it right and just don't take out any of the important cards from the Kamen Rider, I still don't know how the hell you say it.
I've always heard it as Kamen Rider.
Right, that's how I've always said it, but then I saw a video where somebody was speculating that it was going to be Kamen Rider, and I was like, ah, fuck, am I saying it wrong? I mean, probably. But whatever. If they leave in all of the important cards from there, it's a bit of an outdated collab, so it's not as exciting as it could be if we were to get, you know, one of the more recent Japan-exclusive collabs, like Attack on Titan, never came over here. The Shonen Jump has some really strong cards that never came over here. There's been a bunch of others that haven't made their way to North America. But even if they don't, there's so much that they can do with it that I hope it makes a lot of money. You know, or even not a lot of money, just enough money to where this becomes a thing that we can kind of rely on a little bit more. Because it sucks, you know, like there are these really important cards to have. It would be like, if you're playing Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh back in the day, or Pokemon or whatever collectible card game you're playing, or Hearthstone or whatever else, and it's like, here's this really important card that really helps your gameplay, but you live in a different country, you can't have it. Sorry. Like, that sucks, you know? It's unfortunate. So, I'm hopeful, Chris.
I am hopeful for you.
And if anything, I will hopefully get a Green Ranger and a White Ranger, because the Tiger Zord and the Dragon Zord were dope.
I remember when they introduced the Green Ranger. Like, I kept tabs on it because I liked the mythology. I just mm-hmm. didn't like the show.
Mm.
Like, you know, outside of the ridiculousness of we need to find five teenagers with attitude. And, like, they were all the nicest kids in the world.
Oh, they were so, like, pleasant.
So, like, wait, where's the like, with good attitudes? I guess that's what you're...
We need to find teenagers.
You probably should have specified there, Zordon, but... I always liked the world building, and like I thought the Green Ranger was super cool, and I always wanted to see him without the little gold thing so he'd match all the other dudes, because, you know,
yeah.
I like dudes with matching outfits.
Well, but then he wouldn't have been differentiated enough. And then when he became the White Ranger with the fucking white Tiger Zord and
yeah.
the Thunder Zords and shit, like, all that stuff was dope, man. I really liked it, you know?
I liked the idea of it. I could not get into the show.
Mm.
Some of the monster designs were all like, eh. But, you know, some of the monster designs were super cool. I thought, like, Lord Zedd was a cool design.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah.
I liked Rita Repulsa. Like, the name is stupid, but...
The name's hilarious, know. But, like...
It's great.
Just, I could not deal with the voice. I could not deal with that voice.
Did you watch the most recent, like, and it's, what, 4 or 5 years now at this point, Power Rangers movie that came out?
Oh, what, the one with the... What's-her-face,
Yes. Jeez,
what is her face?
Elizabeth Banks.
There you go, Elizabeth Banks. No, I didn't.
It was great.
Huh.
Like, objectively, it was awesome. Like, Tiff and I sat down to watch it one day, and I was like, I don't know, shit. Like, there's nothing I really want to watch, and this Power Rangers movie's been out for a while. I'm like, I heard some people say it was cool. All right, fine, let's check it out. And we were, like, enraptured the entire time. Like, oh my god, this movie rules. What is going on here?
It was a shame, like, nobody liked it.
Yeah, it was... I thought it was fucking great. Maybe I am completely off the rails here. But, loved it. Loved it, and would recommend anybody watch it. Also, Jumanji. We watched that last week, finally.
Oh, yeah, was that
the
good?
The original Jumanji?
Oh, the original Jumanji?
No, not the sequel. To this remake, the remake of the original, gotcha. Not the sequel.
The new remake. The video game Jumanji, not the board game Jumanji.
It was really good.
It looked pretty good.
I like Kevin Hart. He's funny. He's like Rock.
Yeah.
He's really good.
I like Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, Mr. Dwayne. Amy Pond was killing it.
She usually does. She's pretty great.
She is. What's her name? Karen Gillan?
Karen Gillan, yeah.
Yeah, she was really good. Jack Black was a little, like, there's a couple things that were a little problematic with his character from, like, a more woke perspective. Like, if you view it through that lens, it was like, ooh, we're making some choices here that would have been okay in the 80s, but here in the 2019s, maybe not so much. But even still, like, it was really good and really funny. There's even a Jonas brother in it, and I didn't hate that.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Recommended.
So it's just some bold statements, and
that's what we do on this podcast, Chris.
We're nothing but bold.
We're nothing but hot takes and bold statements.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Blizzard. That's right. There's a hot take for you.
Yeah, nobody's saying that. We're the only ones with the bravery.
Nobody has the balls to say what you hear.
So brave.
So brave. I'm so proud of us, Chris.
Yeah, me too. So while you were talking, the fine folks over at Level Up Entertainment posted that they had a crazy cool Sega Saturn trade-in.
Mm.
Bunch of inbox games. Then I'm like looking up like, ooh, all right, I should probably go buy some of these. And then I start looking up prices and I'm like...
They should probably have somebody else buy those. Those are pretty expensive.
I mean, like, there's a copy of Tetris Plus. I'll buy Tetris Plus. That's like a $20 game.
Sure.
A $15, $20 game. You know, I have some of the big ones. Like, there's a House of the Dead here.
Right.
I have that. I have Legend of Oasis. I have Doom. Though I have to double check and see if I have mine boxed. I really need to go through my Saturn collection. I just have them listed. I don't have them really parsed out of, like, you know, what the condition of all my stuff is. And that's kind of a problem because I've got a pretty nice Saturn collection here.
It is. Karen and I were actually talking about that the other day. She was like, God, he just won't go through his fucking Saturn collection. And I was like, I know, Karen. I know.
It's, you know, it's all me. Well, I apologize.
It's a big issue. in our lives, Chris.
Is a copy of Crypt Killer here?
Is that a big deal? I don't know what that means. I didn't have a Saturn.
I don't think I've ever actually played the game. I just know it's a Konami game, and it's one that I've heard of before, and I looked it up, and it's like, let's see, Sega Saturn. All right, that's an $80 game. That's a little spicy.
But, I mean, we're friends with the guys at Level Up. They should cut you a deal.
Yeah, I could like probably get it for bucks. Like $78. So
knock like $2 off.
There's a copy of Power Slave here. Mm. Power Slave, I know, is one that people look for. It's about $163 game, according to price charting. So it is a pretty spicy collection they got traded in there. I mean, see, House of the Dead, what's that going for these days?
It makes you wonder, like, where is this stuff still coming from? Like, is this from a collector? Or did, like, a grandma find, like, I had it up in the attic.
I don't know, man.
You know, beats like, me. How much of this stuff, it's what, like, I wonder with the baseball cards, right? Mm-hmm. You know, now that I'm buying baseball cards again, and, like, I go to Walmart every now and again and check the clearance bin, and then there's, like, a pack of cards from, like, 2014. I'm like, how many Mike Trout rookie cards that go for a fuck ton of money? Like, how many 2011 Topps packs are just out in the world? Unopened? You know? Nobody bought them?
Probably a lot. I mean,
in a warehouse somewhere that nobody knows about? Or, like, people are just sitting on these cards and, like, you know?
I see people post on... I'm in a lot of game collecting groups, and I see people post all kinds of yard sale scores that are just, like... absolute insanity. It just happens all the time. I mean
like, it's always going to be harder for us, I think, like, where we live, because I know, like, I'm never going to find baseball card stuff or, like, video game stuff around where I live in yard sales. Mm-hmm. Because there are stores in this area specifically dedicated to those things.
Well, that is true, but the way you find these things are the people that don't even think to go to those stores. The people that look at these things that their kids left in their house before they went away to college and just like, well, that's trash. I don't know. Nobody wants that anymore.
Oh, no. So I'm saying, like, I know my baseball card dude, the dude who owns his store, is scouring yard sales.
Oh, well, yeah.
To pick up old. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even, like.
None of the stores around here do that. I mean, oh, really, no? It's pretty much just Level Up and. That's it. Like, there's no other retro game stores around here, really. And they're not, people just walk in with stuff. That's how they get their stuff. Mm. I don't know, man. That was really cool to see. And I'll probably really cool. be going over to Level Up to do that and maybe try X-Men number one. I didn't read House of X and Powers of X, but, you know, X-Men number one came out and I want to read X-Men comics. So,
yeah, I read the first, like, four issues. So the first two of House and the first two of Powers, mm-hmm. and they were really good, but again, much like anything that Hickman writes, it's like I'm just when it's all done,
it's
I'll
a deep dive kind when of it's thing done. That's kind of what I was thinking. I'd jump into that when it was all done, but then I'm like, all right, well, by the time that comes out in soft cover, because I'm not going to spend $85 for the deluxe hardcover that'll come out first, I'll be behind on the regular issue, so maybe I should start getting some X-Men books while I'm here. You know,
it was really good.
Heard really good things about what's been going on, so I'd like to dive in there.
It was really good. I really like what he was doing with Magneto. Like, it was really cool.
I heard it's pretty neato. So I've been playing a lot of games.
So what have you been playing, Chris?
A lot of cool stuff happened. They released the demo for Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games.
Okay, how's that? I saw it. I haven't downloaded it yet.
It's pretty great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's fun. It's
That's all it needs to be.
The regular ones were, you know, you have the option of doing all button controls or motion controls for all the different events.
And no one wants to do motion controls, so thank you.
Well, we kind of did because it was me and John, and like the motion controls were funny. They were so we did hurdles, right? Mm-hmm. And hurdles is, so you hold each has two Joy-Cons, right? And you hold them so that your thumbs are over the flat part of the top with the shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
Those are like kind of behind your knuckles, and your thumbs are on top of the L and R buttons. So you press those like you're holding a joystick, and those are the buttons on top.
Okay.
And the way you run is you just shake your arms up and down, you're running. And then in order to jump a hurdle, you have to press the button with your thumb and punch.
Okay.
So you're like shaking and then punch, shake and punch to jump over the hurdles. And it was really silly. The archery worked great. You hold them the same way and your left hand holds the bow and then you press the button and then pull your right arm back to draw. And then you aim with your left hand, like you're holding the bow, and then you let go and shoots the arrow. And it worked really great.
All right.
Then we tried the retro stuff and it is freaking track and field.
That's awesome.
It's just track and field with Mario and Sonic characters. Like we did the long jump. And all it is, like, there's a big thing and road in front of you. You mash the A button as fast as you can to gain speed. And then once you get to the line, you hold the B button and it's, you know, it stops and a little dial shows up and it's showing like if you're, you know, jumping straight and then moves to up and then you let go however you want to jump and then you jump and they measure and it's simple track and field. It's just great.
That's awesome.
So I was really, really pleased with the Mario and Sonic demo, and John got a kick out of it. Karen hated it because she's just terrible with motion controls in general. Like,
right.
It all seemed super intuitive to me, and then she played it, and it's like, she's ready to throw the controller across the room. Like, okay, I'm sorry I brought this up. And,
my bad. I will sleep on the couch in the basement as far away from you as possible.
Let's just forget this ever happened.
I'll move the bedroom up into the attic for now so that we can get more distance from
each
other.
Just to keep as far... You know, I'm sleeping in the car.
I'm going to somebody else's house.
Going to go to the Target parking lot and sleep in the car. It's going to be great.
I'm going to sleep in Target because I might get hungry.
So Mario and Sonic was really good.
That's not awesome.
100% sold on buying it yet just because I don't know how much we'll play it together. But as a demo, it was really freaking neat. Did I talk about Monkey Ball last week?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. About how you weren't loving it.
Yeah, I wasn't loving it. Didn't play any more of it. So I just wanted to make sure that I because I've downloaded so many demos lately, I've been trying to parse out, okay, when did I do this? But
right.
All right. So I already talked about Monkey Ball. I broke down and bought Resident Evil 4 again.
Okay. It was on sale, right? Like 20
yeah, it was
bucks?
On sale for 20 bucks. And I haven't played it in a long time. I haven't played it since the Wii version was released, and that's got to be like what, 10 years ago at this point.
God, yeah, it would have to be.
So I was like, I was a little like, I hope this game holds up. Like, as I remember really loving it, I wonder if I will still love it. And so I started it up, and it doesn't look spectacular. You know, it is a GameCube game just being up-res. They didn't like fix anything,
right?
It took me a little bit at first to kind of like reacclimate myself to the controls. And I don't know, I shot a few, you know, the first dude who comes at you at the fireplace
right.
in the cabin. And I was just like, okay, the aiming isn't great. And then I looked online about this later and yeah, the aiming in the Switch port in particular is just kind of wonky for some reason.
Really?
Not really sure why. And they've never bothered to patch it because Capcom's going to Capcom.
Yeah, they certainly are.
But I was like, man, maybe I don't like this game as much as I thought I did. And then like an hour later, I was still trying to go to bed and just I'd get to a save point and be like, all right, well, all right, let me just see what's around this corner. And it was like it was a while before I even realized that I was doing that again, because that's how I played this game in the first place.
Right.
I just wouldn't sleep at night because I just keep playing this game. Every time I'd get to a save point, I'd be like, okay, thank God I got to a save point. Now I can turn it off and go to bed. All right, let me just look around the corner to see what I'm going to deal with the next time I turn the game on. And then another hour goes by.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, nope. I am 100% still sold on this game. So yay me. But then I put it down and I'm not touching it again because I know it's going to derail me from my primary goal, which is Final Fantasy VII, which definitely has its teeth in me finally.
Excellent.
I'm just kind of ignoring my main complaint with the game, which is just like, hey, there's Sephiroth. Go get him. I'm going to do this little tower defense game for a while. That'll be fun, right? And that really pissed me off. So I just made it to the other side of that cave. You know, you first get the chocobos and you go across the swamp and then you go through that cave and you come out on the other side and it's like, all right, Sephiroth went over to this place and there's like this on a tower with a condor or something on top of it. And they're like, dude, these guys are coming. They're going to murder all of us. We really need your help and a lot of your money. And this is like serious. This is dire situation. Please help us. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to be a dick. Of course I'm going to help you. So I spent a while, like I ran around, collected enough money and went back in there and learned all the rules. And I did this silly little side game, which was kind of fun. And then it was all over and I didn't get anything. I got like a new weapon for Red 13. And he's like, well,
don't
you know,
use all that often because he's not great.
I mean, he's in my party right now. I'm doing Tifa and Red 13. Red 13 are my party right now because I feel weird. I don't know. I kind of want Barrett, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I don't want just Tifa and like, what am I going to leave? Like Aerys and Red 13 together? Like Aerys isn't all that great, at least not right now for me.
Well, and you know what happens to her, so.
Right, exactly. So I'm trying not to get too attached.
Yeah, and don't invest a lot of resources.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm enjoying the party that I have right now anyway, but I finished it off and they were like, all right, well, you know, they're probably going to come back in a little while, so I'll see you next time. But I had shit to do. You guys were like, this is super important. And I'm like, okay, fine. I will put my shit on hold and help you for a little bit. And then it was over and was like, well, what did I just do this for? This was freaking pointless.
Why did I bother helping you fuckers? Yeah, that happens.
I'm really wishing that they added some nice quality of life things to this game, because I tell you, this game has absolutely no respect for my time. And
no,
I think I
none.
Said that last time, where it's like you get to these exposition dumps and you're just like, boy, I've been at this for like 45 minutes. Are you going to stop talking so I can save my game? No? Okay,
nope.
Cool.
All
Let's
right.
just keep this rolling. Because earlier in the game that happened and I just didn't save. I turned off the game and then Karen went to play Picross, not knowing that I hadn't saved, and I had to go through the whole thing again.
Yeah.
And I did have a situation where I just got caught with my pants down in the woods. You know, it's just like I was going around just grinding.
Man, we have all been there going around grinding there. Pants down in the woods. Yep.
So I'm like,
that
I
sounds
like
100%
relative...
like my weekend.
My characters are all like around 100 some health at this point, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm just picking off little guys and you know, getting some experience, and I'll heal between the next match. And then I got into the next match and I didn't heal, and it was a bunch of these little tiny wood guys. I'm like, all right, well, I can take these guys. But then they had this one attack that they'd do that would be like 112 damage, and I'm like, oh no, if they do this in the exact right order, like there's a one specific order where I won't be able to heal in time to get all this done. And they did it in that exact order. And I lost like an hour and a half. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah. You got to save much more frequently.
I'm just not used to that. You know, so many modern games do all the auto saving. And this is just like, I'm not used to this whole making sure I save thing. Tents just refill your health. Like you have to find a save point or, you save anywhere on the map.
Yeah.
So as long as you're on the map, you can save anywhere. And if you're in an area, you have to find a safe point. I did unlock Yuffie, which is something I never did my first playthrough. I found out about her like way later.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was supposed to do something with that thief in the woods. Okay. And so I just looked up the right conversation path so that I unlocked her on the second time I found her. So that was cool. She's there now. I haven't added her to my party yet, but
I like Yuffie. I used her a lot, I think. God, it's been so long since I played through it. I mean, I always had Barrett in my party, like, just because that dude's awesome.
He is awesome, but, like, I don't know, I really dig Red 13. Like, I like his character design, I like how he's all, like, mystical and stuff, and Barrett, every time there's something plot important, he tends to show up and, like, wave his arms around, so I'm like, okay, well, you know, I trust everybody else within your control, but I should probably switch out more often so I keep everyone more level. But, like, I don't want to take Tifa out, because Tifa's awesome, so...
No, Tifa's great. Tifa's, like, a mainstay.
So I'm just kind of like right now, just kind of going back and forth between them. But like every time I switch characters, I don't want to re-equip all the materia. So I'm just like, ah, screw it. I'm just sticking with this, whatever.
Yeah. And you'll get back to that point, like where once you have enough materia and enough stuff and you're, you know, through enough of the game, you're like, all right, I'm comfortable with what I have and you won't feel the need to switch anybody anymore. But then, and again, you know, grain of salt because it's been so long since I played that game. But at some point towards the end of the game, I seem to remember it does the RPG thing of like, everybody in your party needs to fight now.
Yeah.
You need to have six teams, and fuck, you didn't level any of them? Haha, dumbass.
You're in trouble. So I'm going to try to prepare for something like that. Another stupid thing that I did before I realized what it did was I sold an all materia.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
I had no idea what it did, so I just sold it because it was worth a lot of money, and then I bought some random shit with it. And now that I've figured out what the all materia does, I'm like, boy, I wish I had a second one of these. Oops.
You made the cardinal mistake of RPGs of like, oh, this is worth a lot of money, and I can't figure out a use for it. I'm just going to sell it right now.
Yeah, I made the cardinal sin of not already knowing shit. So
yeah, Jesus, Chris.
But regardless, I'm enjoying it, and I'm finding myself in a position where I don't, like, I always want to play it. So every time I turn on the Switch, I'm like, boy, I really want to be playing Final Fantasy VII. So I'm looking forward to pouring more time into it, and I am going to see this damn game through to its conclusion.
It makes me so happy to hear that you were like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, it's clicking with me now that I've convinced myself to ignore the pacing of it that really pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, you're dealing with a game that's so old and the pacing was just different then.
It was, but it didn't bother me in like Final Fantasy VI, you know? Like going from 6 to 7, I just like 6 more, but I don't know. I'm remembering why I like this kind of game to begin with. And I kind of feel like this will be a really fun springboard to jump into Dragon Quest XI again. Because that's kind of the one that's in the back of my brain right now that I really want to be playing.
Right.
Because, you know, I just keep hearing all these amazing things about it. And I really liked my time with the demo. But, you know, Final Fantasy VII's been on the bucket list a lot longer.
Right.
So, I told myself I was going to do this, and so I am. And that's where I'm at, and it's fun, and I like it, and I love the music, and hooray for Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, like, I've been talking about that with Tiff a lot recently, of like, you know, I really just want to play an RPG right now. Like, I want to do that. I don't at all have the time to do that, but I want to. You know, I've been feeling that itch.
Well, you know, I would recommend trying the demo on Dragon Quest on Switch because, one, it's, you know, Switch, so it's super easy to just pick up and play. The demo is 10 hours long, which is pretty freaking beefy, and if you don't play it for a couple weeks and you're lost, every time you start the game, it gives you a full recap of where you are and what you're supposed to be doing.
Which is kind of awesome.
Which is fantastic. Like, they really lowered the bar for entry on this one to make it super accessible, and I am all for it.
That's awesome. I'm being told I need to take a time out here. Hold on, please.
Okie doke.
Like, do I need to come get it now? Okay. Like an hour, probably? Okay. Apparently our swing blew over in the backyard. We have like a big, you know, adult sex swing, obviously.
Of course.
Not in the backyard. I mean, we don't have it for kids. Ugh. They don't count.
No.
They don't pay bills. Pricks. No, we have like a big porch swing out in the backyard. And gotcha. Apparently it blew over and is pushing against the fence.
Hmm. Neat.
Joys of homeownership.
Yes, indeed.
That's my problem now. I don't get to call anybody about that. I just got to go deal with it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Great.
So let's see. Besides Final Fantasy VII, Soccer Slammers was on super sale. I bought it, but I haven't played it yet. But it was $1, and it's from Atui, so I like all their stuff. And there was a whole big controversy with Atui this week where Jules Watson, like, people have been on him for all these, you know, not doing the Kickstarter backer, like, not really being super forthcoming with the updates, and they promised a September update, and that just kind of flew by and they didn't say anything. So a lot of people kind of overreacted to that, of being like, this is horrible. This is a scam and you're stealing our money. And this is one of those horrible Kickstarter things. I'll never buy your products again. Like, all those statements that say things like, I'm never buying Atui products again. Like, sure, you're not. Okay. Okay. You backed Chicken Wiggle and you took it this seriously. Like, whatever.
You backed a game called fucking Chicken Wiggle. Your life is not that serious.
And
relax.
Like, to be fair, Jules Watson's post wasn't like, it wasn't very diplomatic.
Sure.
And, you know, Jules does have kind of an abrasive personality sometimes when it comes to things like, you know, just he gets easily frustrated and he voices those frustrations. I find that relatively endearing because
oh my goodness, he's human.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
You know, he doesn't PR super well. And like, I understand why some people would get kind of pissed at him for that. I'm just like, dude, whatever. I backed Chicken Wiggle. There's 5 billion other games to play. I own the damn game on 3DS. If I was itching to play it immediately, then I'd play it immediately. But yeah, take your freaking time. And they're like, oh, you released a mobile game instead of Chicken Wiggle. Like, okay. It's like, they got to pay the bills. It's not like they ran.
Dude's got to eat.
He's got to eat. And it's not like the Kickstarter campaign was this slamming success, you know? Like,
he didn't make $1.5 million on Kickstarter backers for Chicken Wiggle.
They made the goal. And I think, like, maybe one stretch goal. And that was it. Like, they did not have a crazy... It was down to the wire. They almost didn't even get the game funded. So, like, this can't... We've been waiting for Treasure Knots for, like, 12 years. Like, settle the hell down. How could you possibly expect this game... in a reasonable amount of time. I don't understand how you go into something like this and whatever. So
yeah, it's one of the things where I have issues with kind of the overall model of like what Kickstarter is, because once you involve that many people in the funding of your project, now people feel like they have ownership over it.
Yeah, and like to a degree, they are, you know, he should be updating more. They hired a community manager, and then the community manager like completely didn't do anything. And they should have been doing a couple of updates, and they owned up on that. And they're like, look, we should have, we thought it better to be quiet than to just have a bunch of updates saying like, well, we've been working on the game. We don't have anything new to show you, but hi. People appreciate that kind of stuff. You know, like any of those kinds of updates would, those are fine. You know, you just tell us you're still working on the game and that you didn't run away with our money, because
send me a picture, a like plugging away.
Yeah, exactly. Like just simple stuff like that. So regardless, I love all of Atui's games and I'm still a proud backer of Chicken Wiggle, and I'll be wiggling chickens next year or the year after, whenever he decides to release the damn thing. It looks great so far. So,
and even
whatever,
then,
man.
You probably still won't. You got plenty of other shit to do.
It's true. I have so many other games to play. I bought Namco Museum because it was on sale for $10, and like, yeah,
it's not a bad time,
right? Getting Dig Dug and Pac-Man have available at all times on my Switch. And it came with Pac-Man Versus, the GameCube thing. So that's kind of neat. You can do a mode that's like the computer controls the Pac-Man, so you can just do the ghost part.
That's
so you don't
cool.
have to have the multi-screen situation.
That's cool.
Or you can do it with multiple switches to do it like proper GameCube,
sure,
GBA connectivity style. So that's kind of neat. So yay for that. Obviously a little bit more Goose Game, still working on that post-game content. Tying into 31 Days of Halloween and Resident Evil, I did download the demos for Resident Evil 5 and 6 and can confirm that I do not care.
No, they're awful.
I played both of them before the show tonight, and I gave up on both demos because neither of them have like an ounce of what Resident Evil 4 has.
I did not care for either of them.
I thought like at this point, like, okay, Resident Evil 4 is really fresh, right? Because I just replayed the beginning segment of it. I just got to the shopkeeper, right? Mm-hmm. That's as far as I got in Resident Evil 4 before I decided to call it quits until after I beat Final Fantasy VII. And so it's fresh in my mind. I've got all the controls down. Like, I'm ready. If I was ever going to dig Resident Evil 5 and 6, it's now. And like, the first chunk of Resident Evil 5 went by, and I'm like, is something going to happen at some point? Because this is boring. And then something happened, and it was like, well, the village scene in Resident Evil 4, which this is clearly trying to be, was way more intense than this.
Yeah.
So I'm out. And then I booted up Resident Evil 6, and I was limping. Like, I was carrying some girl, and she was shot or limping, and there was a lot of quick time events, and I was like, oh, that's right, that's when this game came out, when people were doing really creative quick time events, like wiggle the analog stick to this particular glowy light, or hold A until this light turns on and let go of it, like trying to really make quick time events way more interactive. And
yeah,
that's not actually fun. So
no, it's not. It's not great.
Put that the hell down.
Yeah, I did not care for either of those.
Yeah, thumbs down. They do look nice.
Sure.
Graphically, they hold up better than RE4. You know, they were a generation ahead of RE4. So
right.
But still, RE4, it looks serviceable. So
yeah, right. I mean, I am so happy the direction they went back in with Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
Because it was completely new, first person, super creepy, really like it. This new Resident Evil game that's coming out, I'm hearing pretty good stuff, but like the multiplayer, four-player thing,
yeah.
I don't know.
I genuinely don't like Resident Evil. Like, it's just not my
bag. It's not your thing, yeah.
And anytime I've gone back to the older ones, it reaffirms it's just not my thing. But, you know, the Resident Evil 4, for some reason, is just... That game just does it for me. The game still impresses me. It's still just super fun.
Yeah, it hooked you.
Yeah. So that's fun. I'll tell you what else is fun. I finally got to check out Starcade in the Hamilton Mall, which is the new arcade that opened up. I went there with John over the weekend, and we played... this kind of surprised me. He was not very much into the arcade games.
Huh.
Like, hey, let's try some Donkey Kong or some Pac-Man. Or you want to play the Ninja Turtles arcade game? No. Pinball.
Dude.
All pinball all the time.
Pinball's fucking dope.
Ton of pinball games there, and he just kept going to the pinball games and playing and playing. Besides the racing games. He also loves the racing games. We played Cruisin' World for like 25 minutes or something.
That's awesome.
But yeah, man, he just kept going back to the pinball games over and over again. I was like, you do you, dude. Have fun. Because like he'd be playing the Spy Hunter pinball game over and over again, or the Attack from Mars or whatever that one's called, and just a bunch of the different pinballs. And they had Twilight Zone pinball there, so I just kept going back to that.
Nice.
He was playing Addams Family pinball, which was cool. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
He was just having a ball. So it was nice. They don't have as big a selection as I thought they did. I thought it was more akin to like what Yestercade's has, but Yestercade's has more arcade cabinets in it, I think. It's more densely packed. Even though it's a similar amount of space, but it's still nice. It was relatively inexpensive, and it's right down the street from me, so I can go hang out at an arcade for $10 in an hour.
Yeah, that's not a bad time.
Not a bad time at all. All right, so before we take our break and get to our primary focus of the evening, there were two news things that happened. One, archive.org added. Where is this? 2,500 more MS-DOS games to their playable archive. Have you messed around with any of this ever?
No.
So archive.org just has DOS games that you can, like, they just preserving MS-DOS games, and they have thousands of them that you just play in your browser. Like, ta-da, Secret of Monkey Island is on here. The Incredible Machine is on here. Pretty much every DOS game I've ever played is on here, and just hundreds upon hundreds I've never even heard of, and it doesn't even matter. So it seems like pretty much any MS-DOS game you can think of that you liked to play is archived on this site that you can just play in your browser pretty much exactly as it was. Just kind of runs up a browser version of DOSBox. And
nice. I'm about to go click on it while you were talking. And I am going to see if they have Bushido, because that was my shit back in the day. See, and like, I haven't done this on purpose, because this is not a fucking rabbit hole that I need to go down.
Yeah, like, let's look up all the weird,
I'm just like, Discworld, Phantasmagoria, Full Throttle, like, fuck, I don't want to know that I can just do this. I have shit to do. I have no mouth and I must scream. Like, I legitimately have stuff I need to do, Chris. But all right, let's...
I'm thrilled.
You keep talking. I'm looking for Bushido.
Have fun with that. So that was kind of neat. And I'm definitely going to mess around with this because you know, I have Incredible Machine in a way that I can play on my Mac, but it, every time my Mac updates, you know, Boxer and DOSBox or whatever I'm using gets a little more wonky. So
sure.
Just being able to dive in and play it browser style is just like, okay, well, this is what, this is how I'll do it. I like to be able to play the Incredible Machine every couple of years. So that's how I'm going to play that game. I can't think of any other DOS games that I don't have in some other way.
God, fuck, there it is. God damn it. Sorry. This game's terrible.
I wonder
if
they have this one. I'm looking for Paratrooper Bob 1 now. This is just this completely weirdo, random...
We've talked about it, yeah.
Game. We've talked about this on here before. Come on, tell me about Paratrooper Bob 1.
Why are you making so much noise? I have
you
muted.
There it is. They have Paratrooper Bob 1 right on here.
Fuck. Well, I got to play this now when we're done. God damn it, Chris.
Yay. So that's a thing. I'm very, very excited that that is a thing. And
I'm going to play Leisure Suit Larry.
I'm going to play Paratrooper Bob 1, and it's going to be amazing.
I see pain in the ass.
Glorious.
Play through some MS-DOS games.
So the other one, did you see the Analog Pocket?
I currently have that pulled up in a window to talk about if you didn't.
I certainly have it pulled up right here. So this thing first got announced and earlier today, and I initially just didn't even look at it. I was like, okay,
sure.
It's a high-end handheld doodad. Neat. Plays Game Boy cartridges. That's all I need to know about it, because I'm sure if I know more, I'll probably want it a little bit more, because it's from Analog, and those folks make, like, super high-end, you know, the Analog NT and the Super NT and whatnot. They make really high-end modern cartridges.
Retro consoles.
Yeah, there we go. Those are the words I was looking for.
I know, I got you.
So then they announced this thing, and I finally started looking into it, and the screen just sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. 1600 by 1440.
Yeah, what did they say? It's like the most there's never been a display this advanced in a video game system. So the way they really got me was that they're going to be doing adapters.
Yeah.
And this thing will play Lynx, Neo Geo Pocket, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Gear. And it has music making programs in it for chiptunes. Mm-hmm. Okay. And just to take it a little step further, there's a Nintendo Switch style dock. So all those games with your wireless 8-bit Bluetooth controller, you can play them on your TV nice and pretty like. That's pretty sweet. The unit's $200.
Which I hate.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
This is
a $200 piece of electronics. No getting around that. This is really nice. But... I mean, I can't see myself actually ponying up the $200 for it. But then again, I really can't think of too many better ways to play these games, you know?
I can't see you not having this.
You know, because I've thought of modding my Game Gear or my Lynx with an LCD screen, but that's a relatively expensive process. If I get the adapters for Lynx and Game Gear, and then I can play them on the television, and it's of Analog's quality... Jeez, that's really sweet.
Now, do we have a cart that we can put in that from StoneAgeGamer.com?
I would say probably. Just because
at that point, that's a thing.
That is a thing. I think that the EverDrive works in like the Analog NT.
Because that's a big deal, I think, anyway.
Right, yeah, because this thing does not run it through emulation. So pretty much the way the flashcards work is Yeah, it should work. So yeah, any of the Stone Age Gamer flashcards should theoretically work in this thing. So if you've got a, you know, the Game Gear EverDrive or the game, you know, the EverDrive GB or whatever, we don't sell a Lynx EverDrive, but
well, obviously,
you know, for all the Lynx games that you gotta play, yeah, that's a thing. That's really nice.
I mean, like you could. I mean, theoretically, you can have every Game Boy Advance game that you own, obviously, legally, at your fingertips in one cart and not have to bring a bunch of carts with you.
I'm not bringing this anywhere. I'm playing this in my house, you know? But I'm thinking,
well,
like...
yeah, even that, you pop one into your system and hook it up to your TV, and now you're playing Golden Sun on your television... Without breaking out a GameCube and a Game Boy player or having your emulated copy playing on through your computer. That's just, you have this tiny little thing.
And I can play it with the 8-bit Do controllers and...
That's not nothing.
That's not nothing. That is a really nice looking product. So,
hooray. I think Analog should send us review copies.
Oh, like, I agree.
I'll take the white one. You take the black one.
I think that's a smart idea, and if they were smart, they would totally do that because we are a big deal.
We are a big deal. I think we should reach out to them, like through official channels that I don't have access to, because I'm not as official as you are.
You could have as many official channels. You want an email address? I'll give you an email address.
I do. Give me an email address.
Sure. I'll hook you up. No problem. Well, I'll ask Dean to hook you up because I don't know how to do that.
Oh, no. So, I don't want Giga. I meant Stone Age Gamer.
Oh, I don't even have one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. All right. Ryan, I know you're listening. Chris and I demand email addresses.
Yeah, who wants official Stone Age Gamer email? Because I can't have enough email addresses.
We are changing the name of this podcast to the Gome Age Stamer. Fucking.
Oh, goodness. All right, well,
the
Gome
Age Stamer podcast.
You're listening to the Gome Age Stamer podcast from keekgade.mock. Kalahanuba.mock.
Brought to you by IGN.
Yes.
That's right. We're big deal. We're official. Oh, shit, Chris.
So that's pretty much all I had to talk about.
You didn't get Overwatch in today, Overwatch Day on Switch? Or wasn't that last week? Was it last week?
It was either yesterday or today, but.
Okay.
Not my bag of peanuts. I don't know.
It's really fun.
I'm sure it is, but like I'm playing Final Fantasy VII. I don't want to derail myself. Mm. The only thing I'm thinking about buying right now is Ukulele in the Impossible Lair.
Okay.
It's getting rave reviews, being very positively compared to Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which is one of my favorite games of the last like 10 years. The reason I'm thinking about buying it is actually because of the Waveback Awards. I'm working my way through all the soundtracks that I have to listen to for the Waveback Awards to come up with nominees. And I know that this soundtrack is going to impress the pants off me because it's Grant Kirkhope and David Wise.
Right.
Now, I could just listen to the soundtrack, but I'd rather experience it in the game. This is one of those soundtracks that's special enough to me to be like, okay, David Wise in particular is one of my all-time favorite composers. So if I can experience the music in the game firsthand instead of listening to the soundtrack and then having it show up in the game, like that's the way I'd want to experience it. But then I come to the conundrum. I'm like, well, do I buy the game physically for $40 or digitally for $30 or wait for it to go on sale? And I don't know. I don't need to be throwing the money at it. We just bought a stove, which I'm super excited about, but you know, we needed a new stove. So that's an expense. And I'm probably going to skip Luigi's Mansion 3 as much as I want to get that game. I don't see myself having the time to play through it before the end of the year. My backlog is gigantic and it's stuff that I don't want to slip through the cracks. You know, like it's not the kind of backlog that I'm looking at like, well, maybe I'll just, you know, I'm sure I'll buy it for cheap and then maybe I'll play it someday. Like I'm not making those kinds of purchases anymore. These are all games I genuinely want to put time into. And so I'm just kind of like taking this opportunity, like the big game for Switch this holiday season is Pokemon. And with Doom delayed until sometime after March, I have until March when Animal Crossing comes out, and I don't think there's any other huge releases that I need to stack onto what I already have. So I'm really going to try to plow through as much of my backlog as possible. And yeah, I don't know, man. I just kind of want to play this game, but I don't want it to derail me from Final Fantasy VII because I want to finish it before my life is over.
Choices, man.
Yeah. It's so strange. So this is, I've been kind of having a little bit of fun looking at my old Nintendo powers lately, because I was talking to John about Link's Awakening, because I had lent it to my boss and he wanted to play it again. So we wound up playing some Link to the Past, and I was just thinking a lot about Link's Awakening. And oh goodness, I forgot all about the Nintendo Force thing. I'll get to that in a second. So I went back to Nintendo. I knew Link's Awakening was the cover story of the 50th issue of Nintendo Power, because that's, you know, an easy one to remember. And so right. I just busted that out and looked through it, and it was just like, and this is why I have these magazines, because I love looking at just picking a point in time and saying, well, what was the time capsule of Nintendo back then?
Right. And what like, were we so excited about?
Exactly. So then I like jumped ahead a little while and I started reading some of the early N64 era issues, which is like, you know, famously my least favorite era in all of video gaming. And it's like, man, these were some dire times here. And then I'm thinking about like, well, when Nintendo Force started, it was like, it was a pretty dry spell. We're talking about like the Wii U news and everything. And like,
yeah, not great.
Trying to figure out, like, who the magazine was bi-monthly, and it's like, well, it wasn't a big deal. Like, it was trying to find what kind of content are we going to fill up in this issue. I remember when they were putting stuff like Mother 3 on the cover of Nintendo Force because there wasn't anything else to put there. So they're like,
right.
All right, well, we think Mother 3 is going to come, so we're confident enough in that we're going to throw it on the cover of our magazine, because what else is going on in the world of Nintendo? Nothing.
Nothing.
But now it's like they just did a bonus issue. Like, they're not going monthly yet. I really hope they do someday. It would be awesome. But they did a bonus issue for this month because there's just so much stuff going on. There's always enough stuff now in the world of Nintendo to fill up a magazine, which is like so wild seeing like all that kind of content going on. But yeah, I've been having a lot of fun peeking through that.
It's just awesome.
It is. It's awesome seeing the ebb and flow of like the evolution of what Nintendo's been going through. And I love looking at the old magazines of just like, this is a perfect time capsule of like, what were people playing? Because they had all those like the rankings at the end of the issues.
Yeah.
Like people would like write in with, these the games that I'm playing, and like Link's Awakening and, you know, Super Mario Land 2 stayed up there on the top of the Game Boy charts for so long. And like, that stuff is just so cool. I mean, it's really fun to look at. But yes, the new issue of Nintendo Force came in the mail. My first official review is in writing, and I can finally talk about my official feelings on Rad.
You loved it.
I liked it.
Best game ever.
No.
It's not quite.
I gave it a genuine like. I gave it a 6.5. If you want my whole written review, go to nintendoforce.com, get the issue. It's got Luigi's Mansion on the cover. It's an amazing magazine, and I promise I'm not just saying it because I'm in it. I'm in it because it's an amazing magazine. I had it before I was part of it. I absolutely love that magazine. But yeah, that's my full review is in there. But generally speaking, it's a weird game. My biggest takeaway from it is that I wish it wasn't procedurally generated, because not just because I don't generally like that kind of thing, but because it kind of betrays itself by being that way.
Huh. We might talk about that after the break, Chris.
Yeah?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about the game we were talking about, but yes. So Rad has Double Fine's personality all over it, you know? So it's kind of funny and kind of cool. And it does that thing that, like, I first saw it in Bastion, you know, when you're walking through the game and then a voiceover is telling the story as you're playing it. But since it's procedurally generated, every time you have to start over, because it's very roguelike in that kind of way, like,
right.
You start over and then you have to get all your loot and power-ups again, you wind up, like, experiencing the same pieces of the story over and over again. Or after it plays it, like, once or twice, it won't play it again. But then, like, a few hours later of running the same level, same two levels over and over again, you'll find a new spot and the narrator will pop back in And it seems really disjointed because there's no through line anymore, right? Because you've been right. spending so much time without the narration because you're doing this roguelike elements where you're, you know, going into dungeons and seeing how far you can go and seeing how far you can go, dying, coming back. It's weird. It's just weird. It's kind of off-putting. The mutations that you get are sometimes useless, sometimes super good. The game's punishingly difficult. Like, it's all about, they hit you over the head with a baseball bat, right? The baseball bat is the thing. It's on the cover of the game. It's a big item that they give you in the opening cinematic. It's like, this is your baseball bat. This is your bread and butter. This is the thing. But if you use the baseball bat, you are screwed because it's the baseball bat is like, you have to follow through with your swing animations and it's all close quarters. But if you don't swing at just the right time, you're going to get attacked, you know, counterattacked, and you can't take that many hits in this game. So you have to do things that involve like keeping your distance, you know, going for a hit and then jump back, or God help you get mutations that you can attack from a distance on and then just be super patient. It's weird. The game is constantly at odds with itself, but it does have a stellar soundtrack. It really nails the vibe. It's going for the game's mostly, from what I can tell, called Rad because it's going for this very 80s motif, which is so popular right now.
Right.
But it's one of the things like Stranger Things that does it well. It does it absolutely right. You know, the world's got the keys to get into things are floppy disks. The currency is audio cassettes. Everything's neon colored and the music is very, you know, synth heavy, like 80s rock music or 80s pop music. And right. it really, really works. So much of this game works so well, but the actual playing of it just wasn't as fun as I wanted it to be. So yeah, I put it at 6.5 because I thought it was just hit into the good territory. Never really made it to great, which is kind of disappointing because it's a Double Fine game and you always want those to be great. But, you know, Brutal Legend wasn't great either, but it was still worth playing because it was interesting. So,
yeah, I mean, I like Brutal Legend, but that is not a great game.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I feel about Rad. Like I spent a lot of time on it because obviously I was reviewing it. So I wanted to put, you know, that was my focus, but
right.
I don't regret the time I put into it. Like, even though I didn't love the game, I found myself always wanting to go back to it and do better and go further and see what other weird mutations I could get. So Rad is Rad. Just don't expect it to change your life.
That'll work. That's a decent review.
Thanks. I'm a game reviewer. Yay. seriously though, I was like that completely like rocked my world. Like, just as somebody who has always wanted to do that with my life, I always wanted to write in magazines and be a part of that kind of thing. Like, that they let me do a review was like they asked me to do a review, and that was just completely just gobsmacked. I was completely taken aback by it. And, you know, they gave me the download code and I did it and they published it and there it is. It's a pretty wild experience and I'm super proud of it. So I'm officially official, and we're officially going to take ourselves a quick break. So when we come back, we're going to, per listener request, talk about Crypt of the Necrodancer. You are listening to the Stone Age... No, what is it? The Bone Age Stamer Contest?
The Gomez Stamer Podcast?
The Gomez Tamer Podcast from bleepaid.mop. stay close.
Stay close to us, Satan.
Oh, goodness. Are you enjoying the podcast you're listening to right now? Of course you are. But did you know that it's just one part of an entire network of geek-related goodness? Geekade.com is your one-stop shop for fresh original content no matter what your geek is. Each week you'll find articles and podcasts about comic books, horror movies, X-Men, music, video games, music in video games, Transformers, anime, TV shows, tabletop gaming, wrestling, beer, and more. And hey, if you want to help us create even more original content, please consider supporting us on Patreon. That's available at patreon.com/geekade. What's your geek?
Hey guys, Vestlord Dean DeFalco here to tell you that we have a Twitch. Yeah, Geekade has a Twitch, and we are streaming at least once a week. Every Thursday, we are on from 6 to 11. That's five solid hours of me failing at whatever game is going on that week. You want to see me cry? Twitch.tv/Geekade. You want to see me achieve a massive victory? Twitch.tv/Geekade. You want to see me eat food, mukbang, right there? Twitch.tv/Geekade. Guys, check it out. It's a lot of fun. We got emoticons. We got sub badges. We got all sorts of stuff going on over there. And if you just want to pop in, say hi, give us a follow. You know, we really do appreciate it. Trying to spread the love, trying to spread Vestlore Global to a house near you, maybe even your house. So, guys, pop in, say hello, and we'll catch you next time on twitch.tv/Geekade. See you then, guys. Stay Vestly. Keep playing games.
Geekade is looking for some partners. If you have something you'd like to advertise on any of our podcasts, our powerful overlords are ready to talk to you. Send your proposal to mail@geekade.com with the words podcast ads in the subject line, and our diligent army of trained ants will put you in touch with the head of our advertising department. With a weekly audience that reaches well into the dozens, Geekade is the perfect place to get your ads into the ears of the right people. Once again, that's mail@geekade.com. Send your ad in today.
And we're back. We have some stuff to talk about. It is Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween, and we are always on the lookout for ways to make that relevant to our podcast. And so we mentioned that. We had a couple of folks jump out at us on the old Discord. First off, let's get through this easy one, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer to it. Red Guardian on Discord says, he didn't say that. That was just
he said ass fuck, which was a weird thing for him to say. We didn't play that one, Red Guardian.
As for show suggestions, good scary games in the sixth generation console cycle, my wife Amber asked if you guys played Obscure: The Aftermath.
Did not.
Nope. But I know of it.
I'm not saying we're not gonna.
I'm saying we didn't.
I'm not saying I'm not gonna.
I mean, yeah, I'm just not a horror guy. With the exception of like Doom and Resident Evil 4, like weird exceptions cut through that. But yeah, I have heard of Obscure and Obscure: The Aftermath. I have always been a huge fan of the fact that those games didn't take off, because now there is a game called Obscure that is literally obscure.
That is indeed obscure.
And I think that's wonderful.
That is wonderful, actually.
But thank you for the suggestion, Red Guardian, and you can tell Amber that Dan and I both suck and neither of us have played it.
But we might.
But we might.
I'm not saying I'm not going to. I'm just saying I haven't.
I have not either.
Okay.
Anyway, on to the feature topic. Because this is one we actually have played. Bedroth wrote in, it may be too late for this week, it's not, but for Spooky Month, would you consider the original Crypt of the Necrodancer? It's not quite as polished as Cadence of Hyrule, but it's good fun, has a hefty challenge, but rewards replay and learning. Would be a great game to try the SNES controller on, and perhaps most importantly, is currently on sale on the Switch eShop for $4. That's like 80% off or something. Hard to beat that. You're right. And I already bought it.
Yeah, I bought it based on your $3.99 suggestion.
I had already had it. It went on sale for not much around when Cadence of Hyrule came out. Like before that came out, that game went on sale too. And I was like, screw it. I'll buy it. This is cheap enough. And you know, if I never play it, then I'll never play it. Because I remember playing the demo and not being too crazy about it, thinking it was a really great idea, but I couldn't get the hang of it.
Right.
So I've already spoken a lot about Cadence of Hyrule. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the game? How did you do?
So I like this game, and I have realized that I am terrible at this game. I would like to be way better at this game than I am. And that, like, I kind of teased it a little bit earlier, just being shitty about it. But I really feel like this game would have benefited quite a bit from not being procedurally generated or not being a roguelike.
I agree. I agree, and I felt the same way about Cadence of Hyrule, which is why I'm glad it was only sort of procedurally generated.
Because, like, so the entire point of this game is that you can only move and attack on the beat, right? Mm. Well, I mean, you can move whenever, but, like, to keep your bonuses, you have to be moving on the beat. Like, the game wants you to play on the beat. And then the game does not take that opportunity to design a bunch of dungeons that would work on the beat. Mm-hmm. Now, all of the dungeons that you play through do work. However, I feel like there was a missed opportunity there to design some really cool stuff that you could have done because you were going to be 100% focused on traversing your way through the dungeon and encountering the enemies in rhythm to particular songs, which are quite good, by the way.
Yes, great soundtrack. And what I did not realize was that the first level song is reprised in Cadence of Hyrule, which I thought was super cool because I love that song in Cadence of Hyrule. And then I start playing Necrodancer and I'm like, I know this song. This is awesome. And it doesn't have
really
any
cool
because the version in Cadence of Hyrule actually transitions into Legend of Zelda music, which is really cool. And this is just like this song on its own and it's freaking great. So thumbs up.
Yeah, so like I said, I really, really like this game, and I'm not very good at it, mostly because I just have not had the time to spend with it. That it's very particular and it's very intentional, mm-hmm. which is great. But I have not been able to spend nearly enough time feeling out the game to get good at it. But I think once I do have some time to really get into it, I'm going to love it that much more.
It's also incredibly, like, you can't play it like you play other games, which is something that took me a while to get the hang of in Cadence of Hyrule. And I kind of found a way to sidestep in Cadence of Hyrule because I eventually got a weapon that attacked from a distance, which is nice. It gave me that I could attack from one square away, so I didn't have to be right next to the enemies, so that when they did, you know, moved one step closer to me, I was already attacking them and I had that kind of extra buffer of space, which made the game feel so much more manageable to me. But now that I've gone through Cadence of Hyrule, coming back to Necrodancer, I have more of an idea of the way the game works. So I'm finding myself being much better at it. I still haven't gotten very far in it because I haven't put that much time into it.
Sure.
Just because, like I said, Final Fantasy VII is my focus. I gotta stay focused. But
stay focused.
I will say that I did try it with the Super NES controller, and it works phenomenally with the Super NES controller. Mm. It just feels perfect to have a nice thick D-pad. Works perfectly. Just couldn't be happier playing this game with that. It does not have the force feedback, which is kind of something that's. It's a nice addition to like Cadence of Hyrule and whatnot, where you can feel the beat the whole time, but I don't find it overly necessary because there's so many visual cues and audio cues that are kind of helping you along with that. I love the shopkeeper. I love the ridiculous opera singing that the shopkeeper does. It's such a neat game.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun in the game. There's a lot of, like, you know, cheeky kind of love in the game, and I love that about it. Absolutely love that about it.
Yeah, and it's really cool seeing how this game evolved into Cadence of Hyrule. Like, Cadence of Hyrule really does play like a sequel to this game. Like, they looked at this game and said, here's what works, here's what doesn't, let's make a sequel. And that's really how the whole thing rocks, you know. It just The graphics are a big step up in Cadence of Hyrule. It's more manageable in a lot of ways. Like, in the dungeons, you know, when you're, it only makes you stay on the beat when there's living monsters around.
Okay.
So anytime there aren't living monsters around, you can just move around freely, which is really nice because, like, without you losing your multipliers and stuff. Because, like, when you're just exploring, and it's like, okay, I got to make it across this, like, whole room and just beat, 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 beat. I wish I could just move quickly because there's no monsters in my way. This is just keeping the beat for the sake of keeping the beat.
Right.
And it's like a, I don't know, that part of Cadence of Hyrule, I thought was a really big improvement over this one. Mm. But that being said, this game's freaking brilliant and it's worth
awesome.
That price.
Yeah.
Was really impressed with it.
Yeah. For $4, I mean, this is not a $4 title. Like this is definitely worth more.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
Yeah, I really, man, that really is the only thing though. Like that fucking, I feel like it's just such a missed opportunity.
Well, they did a lot of really good stuff in Cadence of Hyrule, where with the way they played that was the whole game is procedurally generated exactly once. You start a new game, it generates the world, and then that's the world you play in no matter how many times you die.
Perfect.
Which is great because it's, you know, and you've still got these types of puzzles that are built into the way the game generates itself and the dungeons and whatnot. It's a really smart way of handling that. I mean, I would still genuinely prefer they just make a game, you know, without the procedurally generated thing. Like, I don't want it to be different every time I play it. I want to be able to play this. And, you know, it's kind of like what I was saying with Rad. Like, I want to be able to just play through this, and I want to be able to get better at it. I want to be able to, like, look at ways to do this level better. But if every time you start the level, it's completely different, you can't do that. You can't come up with speed runs. It's always changing on you, but it's not changing in like super interesting ways, because by the very nature of it being procedurally generated, really what's changing is the walls and where the enemies are. It's not what enemies are where or how you fight them or anything like that. So thing really interesting stuff like speed runs and sequence breaking and whatnot just can't exist in this kind of a game, and that sort of thing's always kind of bugged me, especially when you have something that is so clever like this. If you really put intelligent design behind this kind of gameplay, then I think you just wind up with something that's infinitely better, at least for me personally.
Yeah, and that's really what I'm saying, especially because of this game. Like, we've talked about, you know, how much you dislike the procedurally generated stuff before, and I usually don't mind it as much. You know, but again, when your game is entirely focused on rhythm, there is an opportunity here to design puzzles and dungeon layouts and enemy mapping and all of those things specifically around the particular rhythm of the song for that dungeon floor. Mm-hmm. And not doing that is just a mistake, you know? And who the fuck am I? They don't give a shit what I'm saying, but, you know... I really, really think that is a mistake, because as opposed to me saying, like, I think you should play this game, because I do think you should play Crypt of the Necrodancer if you haven't played it yet. You know, it's been out for a while. It's, you know, this isn't a new game that we're talking about here, but it is very possibly something that you haven't played because it looked weird or whatever.
And there's not much else like it.
There really isn't. But I can't say that you must play this game because of those things. You know, I think there was an opportunity here to have a game that, dude, you gotta play this game. It's so fucking cool. They did this really cool, interesting, neat thing that they could only achieve because they were doing it in this particular way. And that just doesn't exist right now. Unfortunately.
It does not. So here's a fun question.
Mm-hmm. 17.
That's a good answer. Good Thank answer. You. I mean, come on. How do you guys expect to beat me? Good answer. Anyway, so Crypt of the Necrodancer crosses over with Zelda, gives us Cadence of Hyrule. Super awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
What other franchise would you like to see Necrodancer cross into?
That's a really good question, actually. Fuck. See, off the top of my head... I would say that it could be really, because like you want it to be a kind of stabby kind of game.
Indeed.
So I think there's a really interesting opportunity there with like Ninja Gaiden.
Ooh, that would be a good one. You know, with the monsters and stuff like that. That's a good answer. I like that one.
I think, I'm trying to think of like interesting things you can do musically for that, mm-hmm. and having that sort of like the Ninja Gaiden vibe with a beat that you can play to would be kind of cool. I think the same thing could be done with like Castlevania.
I was just going to say Castlevania would be super cool.
That could be very cool.
Because like just on the general, like, you know, Crypt of the Necro Dancer, kind of like that already universe is very like, you know, monsters and undead kind of stuff, and Castlevania would be great. And, you know, having a character with whips and, or even someone as versatile as Alucard, that would be really, really awesome. What would you call it? Because all the Castlevania games are already like, half of them are already, Harmony of Dissonance, Aria of Sorrow. They're already music based so much. So that would be pretty funny.
Man, I don't know what I would call it. I do think there should be a Shantae crossover so that there can be Crypt of the Belly Dancer. That's just funny. I mean, it's cheap and it's easy, but it's funny.
I feel like Metroid would be weird, but awesome. Like
there could be a really cool way to do a Metroid, I think.
Yeah, like, I mean, the fact that her weapon is so ranged is one thing, but, you know, I'm sure they could figure out a really cool way of making that work. And Samus is no stranger to melee attacks.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the world of Metroid would be really cool, because the whole story of Cadence of Hyrule is that after Crypt of the Necro Dancer, Cadence got like sucked into a portal and wound up in Hyrule. And then at the end of it, they open up a portal and she goes back to her world. But what if she didn't? What if she landed in another world?
What if she landed in fucking River City Ransom?
Oh, it would be so awesome.
Yeah, like, see, I think that would be really cool. Like, just if you're going to go down this this rabbit hole, then get fucking weird with it.
Right? Get, like, give me a double dragon crossover.
Yeah, like, but there's a good argument to be made with that, like just a punch and a kick that takes out an enemy, mm-hmm. you know, like that.
They've already done like Battletoads Double Dragon. So the Double Dragon characters have already crossed over into strange monstery territory in the past.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty neat.
Like Ninja Turtles. Mm-hmm. I'd be into that.
Ninja Turtles would be great. I'm thinking of like video game stuff. Like I would actually really like to see a Mario thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, just the Mario world in general is so colorful. Like, you know, just like they did with Cadence of Hyrule was super, like, a super colorful version of Crypt of the Necro Dancer. Got the Mario world, and because the Mario characters are already so versatile with stuff like Mario RPG, like, really bring in a bunch of weird aspects. Because that was another great thing they did with Cadence of Hyrule, is they really played with the whole Zelda mythology. Like, they pulled out all kinds of weird characters and stuff and just put new spins on them, and the Mario universe would be pretty rad for that.
I mean, obviously Kid Icarus.
Obviously, would be my number one choice for pretty much everything. Sonic wouldn't be bad, but if we're going like super weird, like let's do Altered Beast.
Or like Cobra Triangle.
It's just her in a boat. Doing an Altered Beast one where like the different every time you like power up or whatever the tempo increases or something. Ooh. Like a lot of different fun takes to do on that. I'm trying to think of other like top down games. Like what other top down games are there?
I mean Gauntlet, but I feel like that's just Crypt of the Necro Dancer.
Yeah, and there's no fun, interesting world thing for Gauntlet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like, I really think doing, like, a top-down take on, like, Final Fight, you know, something weird.
Mega Man.
Mega Man would be really cool. You could do, yeah, I mean, fuck, the rock roll beat, like, it's already kind of there.
Yeah, there's already a lot of musical references there. That would be pretty wild. Have Cadence, like, fighting off against a bunch of robot masters.
Against Dr. Wily.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Good old Dr. Wily.
He's the worst. What a prick.
Pokemon. How come we didn't think of Pokemon?
No, Pokemon would be cool.
Yeah, that's already kind of top down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting concept that they have done a really cool thing with this game. And I hope that there is more of it. I hope it continues to get like refined and whatnot into a better and better game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like I like this game a lot. I want to like it more than I do. You know, those things like, but I, and again, that's just like me being an asshole about shit, you know, because it's like, you know, I think I've mentioned it before, but we're old enough to where like this is relevant. Like after I saw The Matrix in the theater for the first time, I was like, man, that was a cool movie. It's a shame Brandon Lee's dead. Well, fuck, I can't unhear myself fucking say that shit out loud now. So this movie's forever ruined because it's not fucking what I decided it should be. You know? And I was like, man, that would have been so much better. You know, so like it's kind of shitty to get disappointed about a thing I fucking thought of, you know? But but it's not entirely the game that I want it to be. So I'm always going to be a little like, oh, man. But I, but my idea was better. Should have called me.
Should have called me.
I didn't have the original idea, but I'll make your shit better. You know.
Well, I think we've exhausted that particular topic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 31 Days of Halloween, man. We're doing it, Chris. We're tying it in.
And you know, we, I like Crypt of the Necrodancer, and I like, I really like the idea of them doing more. More universes. I want to see more crossovers with this, with this universe. I want to see Cadence show up all over the freaking map. I want to see Cadence crossover with Shovel Knight.
Cadence and Shovel Knight's a good one.
God, a Shovel Knight Brothers. Themed, that would be really good.
Yeah,
give me, because he's already digging. Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah, that's a good. That's the best one.
Yeah, and I love his the whole world.
The best one is the obvious ones. You know, usually, fucking SteamWorld Dig.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool too.
Give me that. That's fine. I'm into that idea.
All right.
All right, Chris. Well, I'm calling it.
Yeah.
Next week, we are going to play an MS-DOS fucking scary game.
I thought we were doing the 10-20-30.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yes, but
we'll make sure that we both play something spooky for the first half.
We need suggestions, though. So, listeners, we need you to hit the Internet Archive and tell us what scary game, absolutely under no circumstances, can be missed that is currently uploaded.
Secret of Monkey Island, man. It's got zombies in it.
It's not that scary.
It doesn't have to be scary. It's spooky. It's got ghosts and LeChuck is in hell. Come on, man. It's corpses.
I believe we say spoopy now, Chris. That is what
I have been told. No, we do not say spoopy. I don't know what the hell that is. I don't know where it comes from. Karen just mentioned it upstairs. She's like, you know what? You know what word I could stand to never hear again? Spoopy. What the hell's wrong with the word spooky? I was like, I don't know, because as far as I can tell, most of the people in my circle have stopped saying the word spoopy, and I'm super thrilled about that. But now you're the second person to bring that up tonight, and I hate it. What is a spoopy?
Pass. Physical challenge. Double dare. I'm not sure, but my kids have said over and over again, Daddy, it's the spoopy season. And I've said, the fuck it is, children. So I don't know what that means.
You young people.
Hello, fellow youngsters with your stupid ass words.
Spoopy. Well, there you go. Suggest something spooky for us to play for, next week on MS-DOS. And we're also going to talk about the 10-20-30, which is another freaking big one, man.
Yeah.
There's like lots of stuff. Ghouls and Ghosts for Genesis, WrestleMania 2000 for N64, the original Bayonetta for 360 and PS3.
There you go. There's two spooky games.
There's two of them right there, at least.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 2000 is very spooky.
Undertaker?
There you go.
Very scary.
Ties it right
in. Paul Bear, Kane.
Hulk Hogan. Terrifying.
Yeah, really. That's not his hair. Hasn't been his hair in years.
Where did he get it? Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at Geekade. Subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content. And follow us on Twitter at @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually all over the internets. Dan, where are you on the internet?
@GeekadeDan on Twitter and Instagram, and I think that's it.
You can find me at Geekade Chris on Twitter, which I am somewhat active on. You can find me in the pages of Nintendo Force Magazine, on the Stone Age Gamer blog, and also on the this week's episode podcast and Waveback podcast. And I'm plugging away at my next Waveback Overplay, which is my silly YouTube channel where I combine two different versions of the same song together. I've been working really hard on the Link's Awakening one. It's just been taking a long time because one, it is a humongous soundtrack. And number two, it's super challenging because, a lot of the songs had a lot of, you know, little bits where they speed up and slow down, or it's been a lot of tempo adjusting and it's been really hard to nail it down. But it's coming along pretty fun and it's been pretty interesting so far. So check all that stuff out. Shameless self-promotion. Huzzah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks, and we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com for even more fresh original content. That's it from us. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.